I think I'm feeling nostalgic today, thinking about Easters of old, and I was thinking about back when I was about 10, getting up really early for the sunrise Easter service at the little progressive Christian church that we attended when I was a kid, and everybody was there in their best, you know, their spring Easter clothes, their white suits, and so on. And so that's my nod to that today. But I remember that when we were there, it was so early, it was still dark outside, and as the sun rose, the light started to stream through this wall of stained glass windows that was on one side of the sanctuary. And the colored light found these beautiful patterns all over the faces of the people out there in the sanctuary. And as a story of new life was being told, I was looking at this. Everybody's face was patterned in this beautiful light that made them look new and different and renewed somehow. Spring was in the air there. And it was the Midwest, this was Indiana, so we noticed spring. You know, we were usually coming out of a pretty hard winter. For anybody who grew up in that area, you know what that's like. So you really appreciate spring there. And there in that sanctuary, that story of new life and resurrection was being told. And of course, these days, I have a bit more of a problematic relationship with the word resurrection. There is there's a meme going around for both Easter and Passover that I saw. Passover, which was ending this weekend, and it said, "May my Christian friends have a wonderful weekend celebrating a rising, and may all my Jewish friends have a wonderful weekend avoiding anything that has risen." But the truth is, whatever our religious identity or non-religious identity is, and we UUs definitely have a variety of them, this Jesus resurrection story can resonate for anyone who has ever lost someone dear to them. Now, the story we usually know, even if we don't identify as Christian, it's a story of a great teacher who shared a philosophy of radical compassion and generosity. This philosophy threatened the powers that be. They put him to death, but in the story, he rises from the dead, and his legacy of love and compassion lives on. Now, aside from the resurrection part, historians believe that at least most of this story is based in historical truth. And even the Easter part is understandable as reflective of that great human yearning in spring to not just see flowers bloom again, but to be reunited with that which we have lost, especially those we have lost through death. Stories of resurrection can fill humanity with hope because there's a basic human urge to want to be together again with those who have come before. I mean, we ask ourselves, what if we could bring someone back from the dead? What if we could feel the arms of our beloved spouse or parent or sibling or friend around us one more time? What would it mean to have just one more conversation with them? But I'm thinking this year in particular, as Earth Day approaches this Tuesday, we are particularly aware that this year, spring is not something that we can just take for granted. Now, sure, it's always come as part of humanity's past, but what about our future? This upcoming week, environmental groups across the country are anticipating executive orders to be signed, perhaps on Earth Day. These orders may threaten the tax-exempt status of environmental nonprofits, the very people trying to save our planet from the climate crisis that some deny. Now, whether the hints that this will happen will play out remains to be seen, and we certainly hope it doesn't. But the fear is justifiably there. So what's the lesson at the moment? Well, in the past, I think I probably preached that the lesson of spring is that it for sure comes every year as a promise of life's renewal. But this year, I think the lesson is that we need to remember that in order to have renewal in our lives, we have to work for it. Because of humanity's actions, there are no guarantees that spring will come again and again and again for all those generations ahead of us. We have to nurture all that we care about. We have to even fight for it. You know, thinking back to that time when I was a kid and that sunrise Easter service, sitting there and realizing, thinking about the idea that Jesus had come back from the dead, I didn't have a clue what had happened after that. Nobody had ever told me that part of the story. I mean, I was a skeptical kid anyway. I was always questioning everything, and miracles didn't always sit easily with me. But I remember thinking, what did Jesus do after he was resurrected? Did he go around healing more people, spreading that radical message of love and generosity, continuing to fight against the powers of empire? Now, of course, I know now that in the scriptures, Jesus' return from the dead is little more than a series of cameo appearances, and then 40 days later, he ascends back to heaven. So my ideas about the decades of work on his part are not supported by the Christian scriptures. So for me then, what sticks with this resurrection story is the staying power of Jesus' message itself. In this time of great divisiveness, in a time when we are figuring out how to demand accountability from corrupt leaders, Easter is not about an afterlife or a happy ending. Easter affirms that the domination systems of this world are not of God, they are not good, and that they do not have the final word, as theologian Marcus Borg says. Our work is to move away from this moment of violence and domination and turn our pain into a love that transforms the world. And likewise, at this time of year, the Passover story of liberation, of the Israelites freeing themselves from slavery. If we are enslaved to corrupt powers, we cannot be free to be our most true selves, our most loving selves. Richard Rohr says the Easter story shows us how to hold the pain and let it transform us rather than pass it around to others. If you don't transform your pain, you will transmit it, as they say. What if we channeled at least some of our pain about this particular moment, some of our pain that comes from the outrageous behaviors that are on display in this world? What if we somehow transform that into acts of love and compassion? Is this hard? Yeah. Reverend Scott Taylor says Easter tells us that wholeness won't come without work. Spring says sit still and watch the dirt transform into beauty. Easter says get busy and make friends with dry earth. Dig in and don't be afraid of blistering your hands. The pain, sorrow, and bloodied soil is not redeemed by the seeds. It is the seed. So here's the thing that I've come to, that what I think spring and Easter is really about for me. It's not really about resurrection. If resurrection means restoring something back to life that was dead before. I think what it means is that spring and Easter is about taking what is dormant and bringing it back to thriving, welcoming life to renew itself. You know, even in the bleakest of winter, the pulse of life is still there. And if you think about it, we don't really bring things back from actual death to life. That's a a lovely miracle story, but it's when the pulse of something that's still there, that we nurture it, like spring does with its warm rains and sun, that's when it comes back into being. We don't let it completely die. And the same is true now as we grapple with things like immigrants being labeled as criminals without due process, deported to that prison in El Salvador that horrific to read about. As we read details of this situation and so many situations like it that are happening in our world, in our country, we can feel overwhelmed. I know I'm not the only one who feels that way sometimes. But if we stay in a place of overwhelm in this moment, if we let love actually die in this world, good luck bringing it back. We can't let it die. You know, I have an acquaintance on social media. Drives me a little nuts, I think I can say, in the safety of our room here. We have very different views on the world. So I sort of make it it's both a mindfulness test, and sometimes it's like picking out a scab to go look and see what she's saying at the moment. But she was lamenting this week and saying that she couldn't wait for the world to see Jesus again. You know, this is her belief system, and she wanted the world to see Jesus again, and she couldn't wait until that moment. And what I wanted to tell her is, from the framework of her belief system, if she just look around right now, she would see Jesus in the world around her. She'd see Jesus in the face of someone fearing deportation. She'd see Jesus in the face of any woman struggling to find reproductive care. Look in the face of any trans person worrying about their safety. Look in the face of any person with autism or autistic person who are feeling so hurtful about the words that have been shared by the administration about them this week. Over and over, the Christian scriptures are all about this Christ figure associating with the marginalized, with people who are struggling and depressed. And it saddens me that some people are waiting and looking for something that I think is reflected right there under their noses. Want to live out the Christian ethic of helping others? Well, the opportunities abound in our world today. You don't have to wait for anything. It's right here. And for us as Unitarian Universalists, we can do that work right now too. We can attend rallies like so many people were able to do yesterday. We stay active in communities like this one. We nurture the relationships and communities that are important to us. We help those in need. Because if we hold on to the pulse of what is good and true in this world, we can stop those good and true things from dying completely. We can offer the renewal needed so that good continues to exist in our world. And look, listen, I know you've done this. I mean, anybody joining us online today who's listening, anybody here in this room, you have not made it to this moment without approaching another Easter, without moving through another Passover, without approaching another Earth Day, without having already moved through hard, even bleak times. You have been there. You have done it. You've witnessed death and loss and the results of the crushing imbalances of power in our world. You are witness to the frailty of the human body in yourself and others. And you have experienced multiple losses in every way imaginable. And yet, throughout all of this struggle, you have not let go of the pulse of life. You've done what you've had to do so that this pulse could grow stronger. And we have to love humanity enough, the world enough, the earth enough, that the cycle of life carries on. So at this Easter time, looking toward Earth Day, I'm not hoping for resurrection. I'm hoping for renewal. I'm working for renewal, and I'm inviting you to join in that work. Renewal of what love can be. Renewal of what it means to dedicate ourselves to the work of this world. Renewal of the very spirit of compassion that fuels our faith tradition and even our very souls. Remember, in the beginning there was creation. This earth was formed, life sprang into being, humanity evolved, and life sang. It lifted up its chorus in the works of nature, in the things that grow in splendid colors, in the animals that filled the forests, the fish that filled the seas, the humans that evolved over time. Life's song soared through the air and filled the sky and hearts of those who heard it. And yes, there was pain too. Shadowed by the reality of death, unresolved with the realities of our own mortality and potential for cruelty, we humans have sometimes made a mess of things. We enslaved peoples and crucified prophets and poisoned our seas and our air. We battered and abused the very earth below us until its days seemed numbered. And yet, from our imaginations, from our hopes and dreams and experiences, we have told stories of freedom. We have looked at the coming spring each year and saw the harvest of possibility waiting. We have dreamed of what has been lost and kept it alive in our hearts. And we still look toward renewal for the cycle of life to continue. Do you see it? That's the sunrise. Coming through the stained glass windows, the colors falling upon all of our faces, lighting us up in readiness for the world. May it be so. And happy Easter, everyone.